This is the First Time Podcast.
Part reality series.
Part writer's masterclass. It's a podcast about the first time
you publish a book.
I'm Kate Mildenhall.
And I'm Catherine Collette. Welcome to The First Time. The First Time podcast has a newsletter. It will go out monthly-ish. To sign up, go to our website, thefirsttimepodcast.com, and click on the Sign Up to Our Newsletter link.
Hello, Catherine.
Hi.
We're back. We copped a bit of flack on social media that we've gone away and people needed us back.
I am the worst example of social media at the moment. I'm entirely self-promotion and then off.
That's
every
okay.
80-20 rule, I'm just...
You're allowed to break things sometimes.
Not in it at
it's
the
completely
moment.
Okay. We're back though. It's going to be fine. What's been going on?
I feel like you have a bit more news than me. Can we start with you?
No, we're not starting with my news. We need to get the listeners to... To stay with
to
us.
Wait
so
to the end.
You can keep listening and then you can hear my exciting news. Tell me first.
Because
I left while you were still doing podcasty things.
Yeah, yeah. So I should update you on the Emerging Writers Festival
Tell me,
in Melbourne.
Because we don't even know this yet. I was like in the middle of the Nullarbor and you were doing this.
So they had contacted us about doing a live podcasting event, which was very exciting. And it was at the Port Phillip Library. Jerry Platez was one of the authors and Astrid Schult.
Amazing.
Both fantastic. Good event, did first time sort of thing. The organisers had said to me, be like a participating panellist.
Participating chair, is that the thing?
Participating chair, yeah.
We do this a lot, participating chair, don't we? How did you go with that?
I feel like it's a hard gig.
It is a really hard gig. It's a really hard gig because you tend to like not jump into the conversation
yes,
yourself.
Exactly. So it was a really good session. At the end of it, the bookseller very, very nicely came up and they had had piles of each of our books and he said, you did a really bad thing.
He said, you did a bad thing.
He goes, you did a bad thing. He said, I was trying to get your eye at the end, blah, blah, blah. He said, you didn't talk about your book at all. You were just like... The chair. And he said it in a really nice way, in a very constructive way.
Yes.
But he was like,
he was helping.
You should have just like
you should have mentioned
participated.
Your book.
Like
yes.
You should have done a reading.
Because how did those book sales go?
Exactly. He was like, the others did really well, but because you didn't talk about you were just like
okay,
so
lesson
good,
number one as yeah, participating chair. You've got
and I think
to
you just flag it at
book.
The start saying
yeah.
I'm a participating chair.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, so at the end came out into the green room and the organiser, Lynn, came over and she was like, something bad has happened. And I was like, oh, my God,
not
this
more?
Bookseller is like really upset about these books. And she goes, no. So they had organised all of the recording and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And behind her is this very sheepish, pale-looking young man.
Oh,
and
no.
She said, we stuffed up the... audio, like they had actually employed him to do it. And
oh, no.
So I was sort of saying, oh, don't worry, you know, totally, yeah. totally fine. It's really technology,
yeah.
so difficult. And he said, no, I just forgot to press record.
Oh, no. Phoebe would never do that. Phoebe's looking at us from
oh,
this.
Oh, I felt so
poor
bad.
Thing. Okay. Well, no worries. I mean, what this says to our listeners is really, if you want to hear all the pearls of wisdom that we drop, you have to come and see us when we are live. Okay, so you did that and then you did another festival. You
yeah,
went
Story
to
Fest.
The country.
It was amazing. It was really good. It was everything you ever think.
Yeah, because you were posting pictures of like beer by the ocean, right?
The best bit though was actually the car ride. So
what do you mean?
Christian White and I both got picked up at Sydney Airport. He
yeah.
wrote The Nowhere Child.
Yeah.
Have you ever met him?
I haven't met him, no.
Really,
he
really interesting guy.
Sells a lot of books.
Anyway, so he and I spent 3 hours in a car going from Sydney Airport to Mollymook.
Why did you not have your recording equipment?
Oh, it was such a good – he is just a really, really interesting guy. But then on the way back, it was even better. It was the two of us and Joanna Nels and Natasha Lester.
Amazing.
It was the best car ride ever, honestly. So, so good.
That is
good.
So good. That is. Did you put that in your feedback? So festivals for people who haven't done writers' festivals before always send you a little email to say, give us your feedback.
Actually, I don't think I filled it out.
Oh,
I did send that.
Dude,
I didn't fill it
put
out.
It back and tell them that. Storyfest, we love the way you do cars. You can have us both next year.
It's really
good.
We'll
go in separate cars. Excellent. That's great. Anything else? Any other news?
I could cry.
Oh. We weren't sure whether we were going to say this news. Do you want me to say? So the other really sad thing that happened, now we're both crying, is that Catherine lost her dad while we were away. Now we're both crying on the actual podcast. Yeah. It's a very candid podcast. And so she's also been dealing with that, despite the fact that she sounds so peppy, because the tears are just brimming under.
Yeah, so that was hard. That happened 3 weeks ago today.
And it had been a long time coming, but makes absolutely no difference.
It happens slow and quick at the same time, doesn't it? Sometimes, like, it was a good death, you know? Like, it was at home, we were all around.
That's good.
It was nice.
That is what you want.
But he's still dead at the end of it.
Yeah, hells yeah.
Back
to
you.
Huge. Back to me. Okay, I'm just going to let Catherine recover there while we go on. We're going to talk about what we read and what we listened to, because I went on such a ginormous road trip, 16,500 kilometres around.
So where
this
did you
country.
Was it just, I had the vision that it was just the West Coast, but it was a loop.
Yeah, a loop. So up to visit our mates in Yearly and then down the centre. And it was utterly amazing. All things for another podcast that I'll make at some time about travelling around Australia. But the reading, caught up on all my reading. I read the Nancy's, which is exciting because you're interviewing Rob. We've got that coming up. And some of the others that we have coming up, Mother of Pearl by Angela Savage and Land of Fences by Mark Smith, which were great. Lanny. Have you read Lanny yet?
No, everyone is talking about Lanny.
Lanny by Max Porter. Just extraordinary
book.
What's
it about? I have no...
Like, can I say the earth and Brexit? And children, like, it's just
right. Okay.
It's just an extraordinary novel of our times. I'm reading Ellie Smith at the moment too, Spring, and there's lots of similarities in a way. Yeah, kind of thematically, like, this is a novel for our times is the kind of thing you would say about them. Yeah, caught up on lots and audiobooks because so many kilometres. So we binged on Stephen Fry reading Mythos and Heroes.
He is a very good reader too.
Oh my gosh.
Celebrity readers often really good. Brilliant. Russell Brand's a very good reader.
Oh, I haven't listened to him.
He does one on mentors.
Because the only problem is then, because we were also listening to Harry Potter with the kids, is that no one else compares to Stephen Fry.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So the kids listened to Stephen Fry as well?
They listened on and off. Like, by the time we got on the way down when we were doing Harry Potter, both headphones had broken for the kids. So we could no longer listen to our particular ones. I also listened to Underland by Robert McFarlane, which was just extraordinary. Really good. So that's what I was reading and listening to. What about you?
I'm in a reading rut, but there's been a bit of light. I feel like I go for easy books when you don't feel like reading. Is that what you do?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you want to just turn the pages over.
Yeah. Alison Tate, I did a panel with her as part of Storyfest in Mollymook. Great. Mapmaker Chronicles, really, really good. Like,
I feel like I know the name so well because I listen to the podcast, but I've never read them.
Yeah, it's definitely worth reading. Although it's a trilogy in the truest sense of the word, cliffhanger.
Yeah, right. Okay.
At the end of the, which
so be prepared
if you're
to
in
go
a Kindle,
through.
You're sort of like, what?
Oh, wow.
This is not a resolution.
Sure. Okay.
But that level would be about the same as the first Harry Potter book. I think he's 10, maybe the protagonist. Graphic novels, one that you would like, the Anne of Green Gables graphic novel.
There's an Anne of Green
it's
Gables graphic
beautiful.
Novel.
It's beautiful. It made me cry.
Oh, my goodness.
Admittedly, not, you know,
everything.
Not too difficult.
No.
But really, really good graphic novel.
Okay,
beautiful.
Amazing.
Nina Kenwood's It Sounded Better in My Head, also lovely.
Brilliant. I'm looking forward to reading that.
Listening. Have you got podcasts? Listening recommendations?
I haven't because I didn't listen to podcasts while I was away. Oh my
like
goodness.
Group listening.
Although I have just had someone recommend Emergence magazine. And because I wanted to listen to the Robert McFarlane interview, and that was terrific, the Emergence magazine podcast too. But you're always great with this, way better than me. What have you been listening to?
I listened to one episode of Willosophy, which is Will Anderson's.
Yeah.
Have you listened to it?
I haven't, and it's meant to be brilliant, right?
Yeah. Well, this episode was with Andy Lee of Hamish and Andy fame. And have you heard about this episode?
No. Nah.
Well, it's fascinating because it starts out, they sort of talk a little bit between themselves. And then Andy Lee basically says, can we talk about something? And Will's like, okay. And Andy basically calls Will out for bullying him and Hamish when Hamish and he first started out. Like,
no
it's
way.
Really fascinating. And Will admits to it and is like, yeah, I was an asshole.
Okay, I'm going home to listen to that.
Really, really good.
Obviously, though, like, Will has relief. You know, obviously it serves him well.
They're both pretty candid.
Yeah, wow.
Andy Lee, I went to the school that I went to that was a girls' school, and his was a boys' school, and we used to hang out a lot.
Ah.
He's a really, really lovely guy. And in the episode, he comes across as a really lovely guy.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so going to listen to that.
It's a really good episode. I don't know if I've mentioned this before. Making Oprah
You've mentioned
podcast.
It to me. I don't know if I've
And the
it
Dropout podcast as well is phenomenal. Dropout is a true crime around a young woman in the tech startup world with a blood bank testing, testing device.
Amazing.
That was a fraud.
I've read about her. Yeah, I read about her. Okay.
Yeah, very good.
Great. Putting him on my list.
Book news, Kate.
Okay, book news. Let's do yours first.
Got me.
Helpline came out in the US and the UK last week.
It is. I think 2 weeks ago for
and
US.
And Italy. Oh, my gosh, that cover.
I know. I really like it. It's so like a photo cover.
Yeah, for people who haven't seen it yet, it's got a picture of her on there.
Yeah, she's got an umbrella and Rubik's cubes, like it's raining Rubik's cubes. Yeah. It's very cute and it's called Jermaine Johnson Hates Tuesdays.
I love it.
But interesting that. So they had Gazzanti had linked me on Facebook, but it was around the time that everything was happening with Dad. I hadn't even noticed.
Yeah.
So you're so removed from the process.
And also because is everything they run on Facebook in
Italian? And it's all in Italian, exactly. And Google Translate sort of does this.
Yeah, you don't want to stuff it up.
No.
Okay, that's exciting because you are off to the US soon.
Yes, 2 weeks.
Amazing.
Finally.
Both book research and checking out, going around and moving the books in all the bookstores,
pretty
right?
Much.
Facing them outwards. If you are a listener in the US, do get in touch. Catherine would love to meet you.
Well, someone already has got in touch to say a couple of people have contacted me, but one in particular to say that there was a misprint in one of – it's one of those misprints that's like
– I was so waiting for you to say it's changed their life.
No, it's one of those misprints that –
It's
a mathematic. It's a I squared is negative one is what it should be, and it says that I squared is one. Like it's a, like if you know what that is
oh
meant
my
to mean,
goodness.
It's like a really
you
big
can totally
problem.
Riff on that on social media. That is funny. You can you need to make the most of that misprint because that's a story in itself. I love that.
Anyway, what a bummer. But be fixed in the reprints.
Excellent.
So, Kate, let's do it. Have you got some news for
us? I've got some news, everybody. Okay, first-time listeners, I am so sorry, but this information is still officially embargoed, so you don't get to hear it yet, but stay tuned for our next episode and we promise you can hear the whole story about my good news. We also have other things to do. We are going to be around and about the place. We are going to Sydney.
We are going to Sydney.
We've got a couple of events and we'll link to our bookshop event as well. But we're very excited to be running a workshop with Writing New South Wales, which is a total first time for us. We're going to be running a how-to podcast workshop. It's on September the 21st and you can find the link in the show notes. But Writing New South Wales also offers a range of online courses with lots of folk. We haven't interviewed any of these people, but God damn it, I would like to.
Yeah. Okay. Who would you? Okay. Do
I would
list.
Like Tegan Bennett Daylight.
Yes.
Or Ryan O'Neill.
That's who I wanted.
Oh my gosh.
Those
I
two.
Know. And Fiona
Some
Wright,
other good ones.
Anwen
also
Crawford,
good.
Heaps. They do tutor and peer feedback. You've done, I know you haven't done them with Writing New South Wales yet, but you've done this
I
kind
have.
Of online course before, haven't you?
Yes. I've done a short story. It was actually not part of a course, but through short story feedback with Laurie Steed through Writers Speak, and it was very useful.
They're good. And then often you find like they become your – you get a little writer's gang from it too.
Yeah, that's the main.
So you can network with all types from all across Australia. To book a spot or find out more, you can head to the Writing New South Wales website, which is writingnsw.org.au, and we'll make sure those links are on our website. And we can see you in Sydney. Come see us in Sydney.
Nina Kenwood is a writer based in Melbourne. She won the 2018 Text Prize for her debut young adult novel, It Sounded Better in My Head, which was published by Text Publishing in August 2019 and will come out in the US in 2020. Nina has worked in the book industry for over 10 years, most recently as marketing manager at Readings Bookshop. Welcome, Nina.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
We were just talking. I was just saying how much trouble I often have reading people's bios, but yours is thankfully very short.
Very short, yeah. There's nothing much to say.
So does this mean that this is your, you won from one, this is your first?
Yeah, I've never published anything before.
Yeah.
Other
amazing.
Than... Did not even a short story.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Didn't write a short
other
story
before.
Other than
stuff that's gone in like Readings website and the Readings monthly. But other than that, no, nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is probably a pretty good segue into the idea of writing in secret.
Well,
this is one of the things that is sort of on you on the website.
I know. I was going to say.
On the website.
The
is that true?
Is it? I guess it's or secret as in I'm a private person and I just didn't really talk about it. But it wasn't like a big secret.
Yeah.
It was more just, you know, I was always I've always been writing. It just, I never really spoke about it.
Yeah.
Also because I work at Readings and, you know, there's a lot of published
authors. That's actually a very
high-pressure
place to be saying,
exactly,
making
the bold claim.
There's
Miles Franklin winners. There's all kinds of people working there.
Miles Franklin winners working at Readings.
Yeah, A.S. Patrick.
Oh, my God.
Holly Patrick works at St. Kilda Shop.
Yeah, that's a tough crowd talking about.
And also I studied creative writing at university. I worked in publishing and then I worked for a bookshop. So I feel like it's almost implied.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
I'm working
true.
On a novel.
That's true.
You would just assume.
Been that shocking revelation.
I didn't really talk about the writing much just because I never thought it was going to go anywhere and I could never finish anything also.
So let's talk about It Sounded Better in My Head.
Yes.
How did you start writing it? When did the
So I was trying to write an adult novel, quite a serious kind of depressing adult novel I was working on at the time.
Great.
I had tried to write YA mostly, but I'd been trying to write this adult novel and it was going really badly and it was a really hard slog. And every time I sat down to write it, I was like, this is just depressing.
Was it like, were there good bits in it?
It was, I think it's okay. Like, you know, it's still sitting there unfinished. I'd sent it to, I have a writing group, which is just two friends of mine. Emily Gale, who is a published YA author, and Bronte Coates, who is also, she hasn't written a book, but she's also published in various places and ran the Stilts Journal. Anyway, so I'd sent it to both of them the first couple of chapters and they'd sent me, you know, this is good and some, we talked about it a bit. But one day I was like, I just don't want to write this anymore. I want to write like a fun YA. I think I was rewatching Gilmore Girls at the time and I was like, I just want something with warm and comforting and with some snappy dialogue. And so I started writing this and I worked up the first four chapters and I sent it to Emily and Bronte and they were like, this is what you should work on. This is working. And they were both so positive that I was like, okay, this is it. I'm working on this now.
And the experience of writing was very different then?
Yeah, it was really joyful. So I was feeling really like, joyful and I felt the energy and it felt, I had the voice. I thought, okay, I've found the voice of how I want to write this. And so I could feel it working.
And so how did you approach the act of writing? Did it take long to come up with a manuscript or?
It took probably 2 years. I was working full time, so of writing after work and weekends to get it. I think there was 9 drafts maybe, but there's 9 saved drafts, but each one was not a complete, you know, some of it was just, okay, I'm going this direction here, so I'll just restart a new draft. It wasn't like a complete do-over every time.
And so it went on to win the Text Prize.
Did, yeah.
So how did you know about the Text Prize already?
I'd been following it since it began, so for like a decade. And every year I would think, I want to enter the Text Prize, but I haven't finished anything. I haven't written anything. And I would always feel a little bit let down with myself every year. I was always watching who won and thinking, one day I'm going to enter that. I'm a kind of a sucker for prizes. Like Ampersand Prize. I was also watching, you know, the Everyone Wants to Win the Unpublished Manuscript Victorian Premiers. The Golden.
It's phenomenal.
So, you know, there's all these prizes going around, and I find it really helpful as motivation to, well, I'd say I find it helpful as motivation to finish something, but I spent like a decade not finishing. So it obviously wasn't that motivating. But yes, I always wanted to enter the text prize.
And so with the manuscript was pretty polished when you sent it in?
I didn't feel like it was. Looking back, it actually was. But I remember thinking, oh God, it's still not ready. I should probably wait another year. I waited up until, I think it was the last, because I express posted it in, and I know it was because you've got to send a hard copy. It was the last day that I could possibly have sent it in. And I remember standing over the mailbox with it in the express post envelope thinking, oh, do I do it? Do I do it? And then someone on the street shouted out my name, and I just panicked and put it in. And I was like, okay, it's done, it's done.
Did you know wavering. Them?
Yeah. Okay. So I just was like,
Nina Kenwood.
Yeah, a voice from above. God. No. Someone I know, and I didn't want them to see me.
Okay. And because if you enter, are you allowed to you can't re-enter with the same manuscript? Is that one of the rules?
I don't know. Well, yeah, I don't know.
Well, you would have to wait a year anyway. You're standing there with it printed. You may as well.
Exactly. Well, I was just like, is it ready? Is it ready?
And so how do you find out that you've won? Is there a shortlist?
You get a phone call to say you're on the shortlist, which is very exciting. And then I got a phone call to say that I was, from Jane, my editor, to say that I was a winner. And I was in the Carlton Gardens when I got that call.
Oh,
actually, I think they must have left a message and I called back. I still, because after that I would always walk to work through the Carlton Gardens and past that bench that I'd sat on when I found out I won. So I would often look at that bench and think, oh, that's a fond
nice
memory.
Yeah. Moment. Who did you tell first?
My partner. Yeah. I called him at work and I was like, this is top secret. I can't tell anyone. And I think he immediately told work colleagues. I was, what are you doing? He doesn't work in the industry. But he came home and was like, I only told a couple of people. It's like, no, we're not telling anyone. It's
so is that because they announce it at a ceremony?
Yes.
Is that?
Yes. The text prize party, which is like the best kind of party for me because you get to be honoured, but no one actually knows that you're the winner until it's announced. So there's no pressure, not like a book launch where there's pressure of people coming out for you. This is like they're just coming out for a prize to hear who's won.
In fact, it's like a surprise party where the surprise is on them.
Exactly.
But you're in the know.
Yeah. So,
and so did you have to do an acceptance speech?
Yes. I gave a little speech, which I'm normally pretty okay with. Well, I thought going into this that I was fine with public speaking, but actually turns out that I get really nervous. And I'd never gotten nervous with public speaking before, but I was really nervous that night. I remember my hands were shaking and I had to do a speech at the Leading Edge conference, the book conference, and I was really nervous doing that as well.
So that's an annual conference for independent booksellers where I think they made, didn't Text do their book stand where they give away all their books? Was actually Natalie, the main character's
bedroom. Yeah, it was really cool.
That's amazing.
They said to me, oh, we're going to make our trade show stand like a teenager's bedroom, like Natalie's bedroom. And I was like, oh, yes, thinking they're not going to pull this off. Is this going to look any good?
And it looked a sleeping bag
so good. Yeah,
it looked amazing.
Amazing. Yeah,
we'll have to put photos on our show notes.
I should say, I remember I was at Leading Edge when you spoke.
Oh,
as I was there as a bookseller,
and
I really remember that. And I remember how good you were. And when I was preparing for my talk, I was thinking, oh God, I want to be as funny as Catherine was.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's
it's
so nice.
Really memorable.
Oh, thank you. Oh, blushing. So what happens from there? You find out you've won. You just have to fix a few apostrophes and then it's ready
just
to print.
They just print it straight off. Actually, the editing process was really, they said it was a light edit. And I think it was. Like it still felt, well, the whole time James sort of saying, it's going to be a light edit. And then when I actually was doing it, I was like, okay, this is still a lot of work.
Yes.
But the problem was I had this vision of what I was going to do as a debut author. So I won in April 2018 and I knew it was coming out in August 2019. So I thought, okay, this is a really good long lead up time. I work in marketing. I know what I need to do as a debut author to really help myself. I'm going to take it the year before the book comes out. I'm going to really build.
I feel like I had that plan and I'm not even in. So, yep, I'm loving the plan.
I'm going to build a social media, this huge social media following.
Unparalleled. J.K. Rowling is going to be.
It's going to be great. I'm going to put myself, I'm going to be going to events all the time, just socialising, even though I hate socialising. Yes.
But you're an author. You'll be better at it.
I'm going to be so charming suddenly. And I'm going to spend a year being charming online, in person. And I'm going to start pitching pieces and start getting published. Yep. And I'm going to write my second book.
Yep.
I want that done before my first book comes out so that I can just have it done without the pressure of what has happened with
maybe a makeover.
Book. Yeah, yeah.
I'll do better hair, like really makeover. Put effort in.
So I had this grand plan and then in August 2018 I got pregnant. And then I thought, oh, you know, maybe I can still do work full time, do the pregnancy, do the book, do all these plans. And of course, it all went to hell. And I did, like, I was just pregnancy. I've never been less creative and less motivated and less happy in my life. It was like I just hated pregnancy. Wow. And I would just come home from work and lie on the bed and wait for my partner to bring me, you know, a bowl of plain pasta and until I could take a anti-nausea tablet and the sweet release of sleep and then start the day over again.
Oh, my God, that's awful.
So I did nothing that I planned that I was going to do as a debut author. Nothing.
But you have no those things are really running in parallel that whole time.
Yeah. So I did actually have to do things like go to the Leading Edge conference. I think it was 32 weeks pregnant at that point.
Oh, my God.
And I had this vision, oh, God, I'm going to go into labor early and I'm going to have a baby in Adelaide with like my publicist delivering the baby.
Even like coming up with a good outfit when you're pregnant can be quite challenging sometimes.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly. You just feel awful. You look awful. You have to stand up in front of people and talk. And I had to do my edits while I was pregnant and not feeling great. So just the whole thing was like, this is
intertwined.
Not system. Happening how I thought it was going to
Where's
be.
J.K. Rowling?
Yeah. I just posted nothing on social media. Oh. I did nothing. I did not write my second book.
But it hasn't hurt because you have like a million endorsements and this book has so much great.
And that's all, you know, text. Phenomenal. Text have been and so great. So. And they've done so much work marketing it.
It is such a fabulous book.
They didn't need me to do anything. So I could just go off. Have the baby.
Keep eating the dry pasta.
Yeah.
So it sounded better in my head. Actually came out today.
Yes.
So what does today look like? The baby's
The baby is now.
Oh, you don't have to give it a name. But 11 weeks.
11.
Old.
She's 11 weeks old.
I was going to make you name your baby, but then I realised you don't have to.
I can. Abigail. Abby is 11 weeks old.
Yep.
So today looked like mostly looking after a fairly little baby, a lot of feeding, some pumping.
Yeah.
She's decided to be a bit difficult this week. Great timing. So just a lot of time with the baby. But actually it was lovely because there's so many people saying lovely things on social media. So I was just enjoying that.
And so are you doing tours of bookshops and things like that? Is the launch today?
The launch is on Thursday. And then I'm doing some events around Melbourne and two events in Sydney, which is going to be...
Well, the logistics of that would be challenging,
exactly, yes. My partner's coming with me. It'll be the first time on the plane with the baby. So, you know, I'm sure it'll all go very smoothly.
That's a super exciting but also at times very intense period of life, both having a baby... And having a book can be super intense
Yes, so. Yes. So, look, I don't recommend
it. I don't need to be telling you this.
I don't recommend it, but, you know, it's also like the two most wonderful things that have happened to me are happening at the same time, which is wonderful and should double my happiness, but is also kind of double the stress and, just the logistics of, I want to go and do all these things, but... I also need to, you know, be with my baby all the time.
Yeah.
And feed my baby. And
well, you do see, because you do, I think Alice Pung, you sometimes see people with their children.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She does everything so with such grace and such talent.
It's nice to see a visibility like. Of motherhood in creative pursuits. But it's also hard. That would be hard as well, having the challenge of managing that is a very real.
Yes. Every single thing sort of on my publicity schedule has, you know, it comes with this whole other layer of, okay, and what do I do with the baby?
Yeah.
Who's going to look after her? Yeah, I've got to build in time to pump beforehand, or I've got to figure out, can I bring her, or will she be crying the whole time?
And yeah.
So it's added a whole layer of fun to the proceedings.
And so are you writing at the moment, or that is just not even?
I really want to. I kept asking people when I was pregnant, and I had other friends who'd had babies, and they weren't even writers, but I was just like, pretend that you're a writer. Do you feel like you could be writing a book right now? And they were all like, no. So I do, I'm trying to get, I feel like in my headspace, I feel like my old self again when I was pregnant, I just had no creativity at all. No, it was like my brain had been shut off completely and I just could not have written anything sort of new. But now I feel like I'm myself again. I want to write. It's time.
Yeah.
It's just finding the time. I mean,
like,
you tell me, how do you do it?
Yeah, I'm trying to think back. When my daughter was born, I think the first, 10 weeks maybe was just readjusting to a whole new life. But then that did settle down. And I reckon in that first year, you know, once she adjusted to having nap times and bits and pieces, like you could actually, I could get 3 hours a day if I was very like, not do the housework.
Yes. Just, and I'm very good about not caring about housework. So
it's
that's
a gift.
It is a gift
in life, not like to be
and
quite
both
resilient.
My partner and I are very relaxed about it. So, you know,
I reckon that can go.
We can build in time.
And so it is early days, but what's been the best bit of the experience so far?
There is something special about you getting your book contract through winning a prize. So you get the prize party and you get that extra level of attention through winning the prize. So that was pretty special. And also,
who was at the party, by the way? Do they
booksellers?
Yeah.
And just sort of, I guess, people in the YA community, and bloggers, and
it's not just like text and the short list.
It's a proper nice party. Yeah, it was really lovely.
And you were the guest of honor. That's fabulous.
So that is, you know, the best introduction to getting a book deal that I think you can possibly get. And then the moment of, just because I did not expect it at all, when I got an email saying about rights sales, saying we've sold rights to Italy.
Is that how that came through?
Yeah, an email. And I remember I was coming home from work and I'd had a really bad day and I was just saw the email on my phone as I was walking and I was like, oh my God. Like I just could not believe it. Just it had not occurred to me at all that it was even a possibility, just because I just didn't picture it a book people overseas would be interested in. You know, it's just
so that's for Italy. I think in the bio I read about the US.
Yeah,
so it's
US.
Both.
Yeah, so Italy, Germany, France.
Oh my God!
The US and Spain.
That's amazing. So
yes.
did these all just kept coming in by
emails? It all happened in the space of about a month, I think.
Wow!
Quite soon after I think it was in May, 2018. So like a month after winning the prize. So I kind of thought, you know, we're not doing edits till later in the year. The whole thing had died down. And then I got these
that
very exciting emails.
Is phenomenal. Yeah. And so have you had any interactions with any of those overseas publishers yet?
The US, yes. So I've just been looking at the so they had some editorial feedback that we took in at the same time as doing the Australian edit. And then I was just looking at the US copy edit of which had some strange things or just things that words they didn't understand, which was fine. And then just some weird sort of...
preferences around turns of phrase?
Yeah, or just, I don't know if it was just that copy editor, just some weird things where they were like, why is this character saying this? Or should... they just didn't seem to understand some things,
right.
Which I thought was interesting. And just they were confused around, like, references to the pill. And they were like, they didn't understand various things, which was interesting. I've just been dealing with...
That is, like, I really enjoy the editing process, but I feel like the international, I remember doing some stuff with the US as well. I had read the book so many times at that point. It's very hard to stay engaged.
Yeah. And
particularly around minutia of sort of.
Yeah. Well, and it's also, they're like, can we change the word chemist to drugstore? But then they say we don't want any words that Australians wouldn't use. So then it gets really confusing because Americans will be confused by this, but we want it to be authentic. And so
do they not say chemist?
Apparently not.
Oh.
They don't know doona. They don't know chemist. They don't know bathers.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the other words that were going around and around on, like, how to fix this. There's a whole bunch of, like, words like that.
Yeah, sort of edits. So, Nina, you've worked in the book industry, as you said, for quite a long time. How do you think having worked in the industry has helped?
I mean, it's obviously...
Or has it helped, is the first question.
It's definitely, I come to it various privileges, and one of them is working in the industry. And, you know, you just even working for readings is great because I already know everyone at readings and they're really good about supporting the work of
readings
any staff.
Readings is a phenomenon too, isn't
it? Yeah, so like that's just an advantage there. But also, I guess the flip side of that is seeing as a bookseller, you see just how many books there are competing for shelf space, competing for attention, how quickly things move, how many books every month are coming in.
And how many books are coming in?
A lot. And a lot are competing for space, similar. Attention, your time and how little time. But, you know, there's so many books to read and you're always trying to read ahead as a bookseller. So every single bookseller that took the time to read my book, I'm just so grateful for.
Yeah, I guess you appreciate, that sounds very obvious when you say it, but when you are outside that world, you don't realise a lot of the small acts of generosity that people, like, it is a very generous act if you have hundreds of books coming in to pick one over another and to support
one, exactly.
That book.
Yes, so
it's a very kind thing.
I feel incredibly grateful for the time and the energy. I had a bound proof that went out that had, before that, that text had sent the manuscript to, I think, 10 booksellers and asked them to give a quote so that they could put it on the bound proof. And so, you know, reading in manuscript form it's a big ask. And so they all did it and they gave such wonderful quotes, and that was just so generous and such a wonderful thing
experience.
To have them do. So that kind of, I really appreciate and understand the time that booksellers have taken to support the book. So from that angle, it's really nice.
Advice for debut authors. Have you got some?
Well, don't have a baby at the same time as your first
book. It's a
big
one, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess enjoy it and don't underestimate how much impact little things can have. Like, I still distinctly remember your talk at Leading Edge. Aww. And I remember when we got copies of Skylarking in at readings and the bound proof, and we were all being excited about it because I'd heard about it, and I remember reading it, like, and there was build up to it, and just those little things. It only takes a couple of people to champion your book, and that can sort of spread from there. So I guess really appreciate everyone who takes the time to read it, and you never know. It just takes getting into the hands of the right person can really make or break. Well, not entirely,
great
can
advice.
Have a huge impact.
That is great advice. Thanks, Nina, for sharing your wisdom.
Thank you for having me.
This is Nina Kenwood with our first time quick five, and you can pass on any question. For your first time, agented or unagented?
Unagented.
Advance or no advance?
Advance.
Overseas territories or just ANZ?
Overseas territories.
Festival invites or no festival invites?
Festival invites.
And favourite novel by a debut author?
Probably Prep by Curtis Sittenfeld.
Oh my God. I looked on your website and you had a list of book recommendations and Curtis Sittenfeld is number one. She is phenomenal.
Yes, I'm obsessed with her.
I wanted to say that to you. I kept thinking, make sure you mention that. She is so good.
Yeah. So I loved Prep. And then, I've loved everything. I've followed her career the whole time.
She's amazing.
She's amazing. And she really inspired me to, write about awkward teens.
Yes. Like the way she does it so well. It is the worst title, The Man of My Dreams.
I love that book. And she doesn't even mention it anymore.
She doesn't. She won't even talk about it. And it's because the title was so bad. And the book is so good.
I know. I loved it. I still go back and look at it.
Same. I have a copy of it that I still look at. It's, a good title goes a long way.
You can find the show notes for today's episode on our website, thefirsttimepodcast.com. Get in touch with us via Instagram or Twitter at @thefirsttimepod, or you can leave us a message on the website. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to The First Time Podcast, a podcast about the first and second time you publish a book. We recorded this episode at RMIT University on the traditional land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. This podcast is produced by Phoebe 80. The First Time Podcast is supported by Writers Victoria, ACT Writers Centre, RMIT School of Media and Communication, and by our wonderful supporters on Patreon. You too can become a supporter of our podcast by heading to our Patreon site, www.patreon.com/thefirsttimepodcast.